Good singing this morning. Now take your Bibles, go to the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, in the book of Acts, chapter number 20. We'll read one verse this morning. We'll read it together. We'll be reading verse number 20. Acts chapter 20. We'll read together verse number 20. And let's begin. "And how I kept nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, Lord, and we do thank you, Lord, for how you work in our lives. Lord, so many of us this morning, Lord, could testify, Lord, about how you've done something special in our lives, Lord. And all of us here that are saved this morning, Lord, what a great miracle you've wrought in our lives. Lord, this morning, Lord, as we hear the truth that's been prepared for us, Lord, please allow us to take this truth, Lord, apply it to our lives, or may we use for you, Lord, to help somebody else because of what's done here this morning. Lord, we ask you to work in our hearts. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. Amen.
Acts 20:20. If I could have your attention, I am very serious this morning, and yet I'm very excited. We have an opportunity before us that has never been had in history. I mean that. And several weeks ago, my wife and I, it was the week of Thanksgiving. We were driving to Kentucky to see my daughter and future son-in-law and my son. While I was driving down I-79, I was thinking and praying, and my wife was snoring. She was resting. And I was asking the Lord for wisdom and direction for 2020, and the Lord gave me this verse. And I began to see the outline, and I said, "Okay, God, I understand." And when I stopped, I pulled out a 3x5 card and jotted a few notes down and worked on it and jotted a few more things down and began to pray about it and work on it. I got back and met with Mrs. Barnes and my son, and we began to talk about it. And it just kind of started growing. And it just kind of grows on you. May not be as exciting this morning to you, but as you think about it, it's going to start growing on you. We're going to call it Acts 20:20 in 2020. Acts 20:20 in 2020. See, there'll never be another 2020 in history.
That's right.
This is it. We got one shot at it. I don't know about you, but God's a whole lot better at thinking of things than I am. Figured if it was in the Bible and it was good enough for him to put there, it's good enough for us to live. I just kind of live that way. Who knows? Maybe 2020 will be the year that the Lord returns. I hope it is. Matter of fact, I hope it's 2019. We still got a few weeks yet, but if not, guess what? We're going to keep on plowing ahead. I want Acts 20:20 to be the theme for Grace Baptist Church next year. It's going to be a way for us to reach more people. Let me say right here and right now, right up front, I am not worried about being the largest church in the world. I'm not worried about being the largest church in the area. I'm not worried about being the fastest growing church anywhere. I just believe it's our job to help as many people as we can and reach as many people with the gospel as we can. If we reach hundreds, great. If we reach thousands, great. If we reach one more, I'm just as excited. We're not supposed to worry about the results. We're just supposed to obey. So I'm not as worried about the end result as I am our obedience to the Lord and to reach as many people as we can for the Lord. If we are truly going to be a hospital for the Lord, guess what? That means we're going to bring everybody in. Did you know that people don't go to the hospital when they're well? If you're feeling great and you got up this morning and said, "Praise the Lord, I feel good. I've felt this good in years. I'm going to go to the hospital and check myself in." It doesn't work that way. You don't go there when you're feeling good. You go there when things aren't going real well. But they're able to help you get back on track, usually. and help you get back where you're supposed to be so that you can continue with what health you do have. Now, may I say this? Everybody needs what God says. And I think everybody needs what Grace Baptist Church has. To you visitors, please allow me to be somewhat boastful, but I think we got a pretty good thing going here. There's no big shots here. There's no cliques here. I don't put up with any of the, well, they've got this little group of people here and us four no more. You're not allowed. That isn't going to happen. I've chased folks out of church over that mess, and we're not having that here. If you're saying something that everybody else can't hear, guess what? Take it somewhere else. Don't do it here. And just because you have a position doesn't mean you're hot snot on a silver platter, because you're nothing but a cold booger on a paper plate. You ain't no better than nobody else. Not good grammar, but it's good preaching. And I know what good grammar is. But may I say this? People will not get the love that they need to get from this world. They're not going to get it from the liquor bottle. They're not going to get it from the needle in their veins. They're not going to get it from the world's music. They're not going to get it from the nightclub. They're not going to get it from Hollywood. They're only going to get it if they get it from God and God's people. They need a safe place away from the chaos of the world to learn the truth by which a life lived can be blessed by God. Folks, can I tell you something? It's pretty good inside the four walls of this place. It's pretty good when everybody's here. At about 5 to 5 this morning when I pulled in the parking lot, I unlocked the door. I walked in and said, man, it's good to be here. Even when nobody's here, it's good to be here. But can I tell you something? Pretty rough world out there. Pretty nasty world out there. The world that we need to reach doesn't need another Hollywood production in the name of religion. They need to see the power of God working through the man of God and the people of God to see what God can do, not what Hollywood can do. Everybody doing okay? We don't need another inspirational intellectual talk. It's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before I put a turtleneck sweater on and sit on a bar stool and let's have a little talk with Jesus. I'm definitely not putting a robe on. That would be indecent exposure. The way I cut loose. You say, well, are you afraid of intellectualism? I'm not afraid of it, but I've seen enough of those yard birds. I don't want to be one. I'll take you deep, but it's pretty simple. We need to bring the power of God and the grace of God into daily living. Now listen to me very carefully. I want every household that's represented in our church to know what it means to have the power of God on your life. I would like every household in Berkeley and Jefferson County and in Virginia, where we reach with our bus routes, and all over this area, to know that this church is a place where they can get help from God. It's not about a man. It's about God. Amen. I am no better than any other human being sitting in the four walls of this building right now. I'm just as much a sinner as you are. God set me apart 39 years ago to start preaching. I started preaching as a 13-year-old kid. I didn't have any sense. I didn't have much brains, but I knew God called me to preach. I've been preaching for 39 and a half years. Went to Bible college to get some training. Met the lady that just sang a moment ago, my wife. We married, and I told her, I said, I don't know what God's going to do or where he's going to take us, but it could be rough, and I'm a bit rough and a bit plain, but we're going to do God's will no matter what it takes. She said, well, whatever the Lord wants, that's what I want to do. Thank God she stuck by me for almost 30 and a half years now. Can I tell you something? We've been all over this country. We've seen God do some amazing things. Tens of thousands of people being saved. Lives changed. Say why? Because we just decided we're going to do whatever God said do. Oh, it wasn't always easy. We fought some battles along the way, not with each other. This church is not a show. It's not a production. We're not choreographing what we want to happen. Folks, you don't understand. I couldn't choreograph what God does. We couldn't plan what God does. We have some of the most unusual things happen around here. You just don't understand. I mean, just 2-3 weeks ago, there was a lady from another Baptist church in the area that called me and said, "Pastor, we know your people work in a certain area." And said, "Our church doesn't go there anymore, but I have a friend that's lost that needs to get saved. Would you go witness to him?" Be glad to. Sent Mrs. Lopez down there because it was on her bus route area. And she ended up winning the husband and wife to Christ. And we're going to get them in church one of these days. And they got somebody else living, another adult living in the house. It's going to come with them. Pretty bad when another church member has to call another church to send somebody to see somebody get saved. I wanted to say, "How about you come on over to our church with us?" But I didn't do that because of my ethics. I just believe in seeing God work. By the way, this isn't some money-making Ponzi scheme. Everybody doing okay? We pass out once a month the regular financials for our church. You'll find out we're not making a lot of money here. We're paying the bills, making it happen. The preacher isn't running around driving $100,000 vehicles. I got a 2001 F-150 that I drive most of the time. I just bought my wife another car, traded in, and making smaller payments on it than the last car that I had. But can I tell you something? God's good. This is the fifth building we've been in 7 years. 4 rental buildings. And if you saw what we came from, you would not believe it. How many of you have ever been to the luxurious palace of Aiken Center? Lord have mercy. 2.5 years we struggled in that building and saw people saved. Watch that couple come and get saved and others. Amen. We grew in the midst of Aiken's Center. Isn't Aiken the guy that stole gold in the book of Joshua and God cursed him? But anyway, this isn't a Ponzi scheme for the preacher to make a lot of money. No. I'm here to serve the people and to deliver the message of God. I live to serve people. I love to serve people. I love to help people. I love to meet their needs and be with them when they're hurting and try to help them along the way. But let me say right here, right now, right out of the gate, we are not going to change what we're doing. We're just going to add to what we're doing. Amen. We're not going to go contemporary. We're not going to put screens up and follow the bouncy ball. We're not going to change Bibles. We're not going to change music. We're going to do it God's way. Amen. Say, well, are those churches bad churches? How many did they have saved last year? We're going to do more of what we have been doing all along. We followed the Bible from the day one, September 25th, 7+ years ago. Guess what? If it was good then, it's good now. Right. Now, we just want to do a little more. Go a little faster to reach more people since we have a building that'll finally hold a little more. And then when we fill this building up, we've already got it approved to build the next building. It's already in the plans. We haven't finished the final inspection for this one yet, but we're working towards it. Let me say right here, we're going to follow what that book says We're not going to follow what modern culture says.
Amen.
I made this statement not many months ago, and I'm going to make it again. Do you know what the root word of culture is? Cult. I don't care what culture says. I care what God says. Not going to answer to culture, but I'm going to stand before God, and so will you. I'd rather do what God said than do what society says any day. So I want to take Acts 20:20, and I want to kind of preach it to you and show you what we're going to do over the next 12 months. In just a couple weeks, a week or so, we'll have a big banner that goes across the front here that'll say Acts 20:20 in 2020. And it'll be beautiful. You'll enjoy it. There's some things that we'll be adding to things as we go along all year long. Let me help you with it. Look at Acts 20:20 again, first part of the verse. And how I kept back nothing. Point number one. We aren't going to keep anything back.
Amen.
We're not going to hold back. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Can I tell you something? God wants a church to not hold anything back in 2020.
Right.
Let me challenge you. How about you decide you're not going to hold back this year? That you just kind of give it your best shot. You just, I'm not saying that every man in here is going to start preaching in junior church and preaching at the drug rehab and preaching on the street. But what I am saying is, let's not hold back. If there's something to do, let's get involved with it.
That's good.
And if we're going to get involved with it, let's give it everything we got.
Right.
Brother Mike, I believe in whatever I do, I ought to give everything I got to it. I'm not about to let somebody that works at the stinking brewery company to work harder than a Baptist preacher. I'm not about to let some lawyer put more hours in than I put in. When we were over at Aiken Center, Mr. Pill used to run into him in the parking lot every once in a while, and he'd say, preacher, and he's a Methodist. He'd say, that's why you're building a church and my church is dying. He said, I never met a preacher that got to work before I did. After about a week, I wasn't there. And he called the office and my secretary was there. And he said, is Pastor Bush okay? I haven't seen his vehicle here before I get to work. She said, yes, he's out of town. I don't know if I was on vacation or preaching. When I got back, he was glad I was back. Can I tell you something? I believe that we ought to give it everything we got. I'm not going to let some stupid football player kill a pig, blow it back up with air, and go out and kill each other, run around in spandex, and work harder than I work.
Amen.
Just decided a long time ago I was going to give it everything I've got. I'll give it every hour I can. Everybody doing okay? How about we decide as Christians for 1 year, we'll dedicate 1 year and hold nothing back.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying that you're going to be at church 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and not have any time for yourself or your family, but I'm asking that we wouldn't hold back. And I'm going to show you how we can do that. May I say this? It's not for the church. It's for God. It's not about building a name for Grace Baptist Church or for this preacher. It's about building a name for God.
Amen.
It's about doing something God's way and watch God bless his work. We are all, and that includes me, gonna say in 2020, I'm not gonna hold back. All of us have a little in reserve, don't we? All of us have that little bit of, well, I don't think I'm going to give quite as much of that of me. I'll just hold back. It's a long ways to go. Let me say something. I think we ought to try to be at every church service in 2020. I think we ought to be in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night church. Let's try to have perfect attendance in 2020. I realize if you're on vacation, you're going to miss. But do me a favor, let me know where you're going on vacation, and I'll find a good church within range for you to go to. Brother Mike and Miss Arlene went on a 10-week vacation. They went up, they left here and drove all the way to Alaska and stopped along the way. And honestly, along the way, they would call and say, "Preacher, do you know of a church near this town?" Several times I had found churches for them. Say why? Because I want to make sure everybody's cared for. That I do that a lot for folks. I'll be on vacation in October. I'm actually preaching in Maine in October, but I'm going to take a week of that as vacation while I'm there and help Brother Drelyard a little bit and take my wife with me. And we'll enjoy the upper Northeast for a week, and I'm going to preach for him 3 or 4 times while I'm up there. I already planned on it. He asked me months ago if I would come preach for him then, and I said that I would. And I said, "But I may come and spend a few extra days." He said, "Good." He said, "My church will buy you a duck stamp, and we'll go duck hunting, preacher." I said, "All right, I'm bringing my own gun then. Because last year I whooped you with your gun, and you didn't go over very well. When you outdo somebody with their gun, they aren't real happy with you." But let's decide we're going to be in every church service possible. Now, if you're throwing up, do me a favor. Stay home. Amen. But if you got a hangnail, you can come to church. Amen. And just because one person has the sniffles doesn't mean all 5 of you have to stay home to wipe one nose. Amen. Everybody doing all right? Yeah. If it needs wiped, it can get wiped. You say, "Well, I'm just not feeling real well." If I stayed home every time I didn't feel real well, I would be home more than I'm here. Good night. You've watched me preach with walking pneumonia for a month. Didn't have any voice. Get up to preach and God give me my voice. Got done, said amen, and had nothing left. There's days I crawl in. I'm telling you. Say, "You don't tell us you're feeling bad, preacher." Doesn't matter if I'm feeling bad. I got to crawl in. Everybody doing all right? Let's participate in ways that we haven't done before, and let's just give a little extra of our time for 1 year. Let's walk with God and read our Bible every day for a year. I'm not saying you have to read through the Bible. I'm just saying read the Bible every day. I think sometime as a Christian you ought to read through your Bible in a year. But I don't think you're not right with God if you didn't read all the way through this year. But if you read every day, you got more than some people that read through the whole thing. Amen. By the way, you're looking at a preacher that lives in this book. I'm about 3.5 times, I'm close to finishing it 4 times for the year. That's in my casual reading. That's not my study. I heard some idiot on the stupid radio one day say, "You know, I'm not even sure as a pastor I've read through the Bible in a year. God help me, I wouldn't want to go to his church." That's like saying I'm going to go to a surgeon, he's not sure if he's been all the way through school yet. You go practice on somebody else, dude. You ain't practicing on me. You know, that's like a mechanic say, "Well, I've changed brakes, but I've only done 3/4 of the job. I'm not sure I can do it all." Do me a favor, don't touch mine. I want Grace Baptist Church to hold nothing back from God from 2020. How about you decide you're going to pray every day? Prayer is not God in a bottle and you rub it and the genie pops out and you ask him whatever you want. I mean, you get a hold of God and you pray every day. So, in 2020, point number one, we're going to hold nothing back. Everybody doing okay? All right, somebody say amen. There we go. All right, I know you're listening. I woke you back up. Number two. Let me show you what God said, not the preacher. "How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you." Do you know what that term "showed you" means? It means be an example. How about we decide that we are going to be an example as a Christian for 2020. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity." God even told us what kind of example and what areas we're supposed to be an example in. In word. That's real easy. in word means what you say. Some of you, this Christianity thing's new, and you need God to clean up your conversation a little bit. Did you know that God's last name is not D-A-M-N? Everybody doing okay?
Right, sir.
I'm on a personal vendetta. How come we don't use Allah's name in that word?
Amen.
How come we don't use Buddha's name? How come the only God cursed is our God? I think some of us ought to be careful how we speak.
Amen.
What words we use. Everybody doing okay? I'm having fun right now. In other words, let's be an example by what we say. But number two, in conversation, that's how you live. The word conversation isn't in your conversing. It means your manner of life. Let me ask you a question. If you got put on trial for being a Christian in a court of law, is there enough evidence to convict you? Maybe some people at work need to find out you're a Christian. Maybe some people where you go to school need to find out you're a Christian. Maybe your neighbors ought to find out you're a Christian. Mine know I am. Good night, you go through our neighborhood, that's where the preacher lives. Especially down on my end of the subdivision. Lord have mercy, I hadn't been in my house a week and my neighbor passed away. I never even met him. First time I met his wife was after her husband died and I had to go introduce myself. You talk about awkward. Brother Barnes, I'm going to need you to turn this down just a hair. It's ringing up here. No, the monitors, I'm sorry. I think our humidity level changed and it started ringing. But listen to me, I went and met her, started talking to her. My wife and I went there. I ended up, about 6 weeks later, I preached his memorial service. Thank you, Brother Barnes, that's perfect. You can work your way back up. You're not going to bother me. Everybody look at me. I'm better looking than him. I've got hair. Now, wait a minute. I ended up preaching my neighbor's memorial service, and 13 or 14 of my neighbors got saved. My Catholic neighbors that live catty corner across the street got saved.
Amen.
That sign out there in the foyer that's got the latitude and longitude of our property on it is done by a Catholic man that got saved at a funeral that I did. He's been to church a couple times, brought his sister to church with him.
Amen.
Richard's my buddy. I like Richard. He likes me. Can I tell you something? Maybe somebody in your neighborhood needs to find out you're a Christian. Maybe you could reach some of your neighbors. Then it says in charity, that's in our love. Did you know that Christians ought to love people differently than the world does?
Amen.
Folks, you're looking at a preacher that knows how to love people. Say, you're pretty arrogant. No, I know how to love people. I've been doing it a long time. My daughter and I play this little game, good night. She's 22 years old. She's getting ready to get married, and I'll say something to her by text. I'll say, I love you. And she'll say, I love you more. I said, can't do that. She said, well, I've loved you my whole life. I said, I loved you before you were born. That's not fair, Daddy. No, it's not fair. I said, and I told you a long time ago, you'd leave me for some toe-headed idiot. And I said, now I know what his name is. It's Michael. And she said, no, I'll always be your little girl. I said, yeah, but you love him more than you love me. No, I don't. Yes, you do, or you wouldn't be getting married. I joke with her a little bit. By the way, I'm happy for her.
Yes.
Michael's a good young man. Hopefully, mid-year, we'll be able to hire him and bring him on staff here because we're going to put so many people in here, we're going to need more help. Everybody doing okay? All right, hang in there. In love. Do you know how to love people? Do you know how to walk in and love somebody that's unlovable? We're going to bring in more people to church. They're going to be a little rough around the edges. They're not going to know how to behave in church like some of you that have been there since Noah got off the ark. Can I tell you something? This world is unchurched today.
That's right.
They don't know what the lost world used to know 50, 60, 70 years ago. Guess what? They're going to need a little bit of patience. Not you looking down your pharisaical snoot. Well, they ought to know better. Well, they don't. We're here to teach them. So get your eyeballs worked out. Get your nose twisted back in the right direction and just smile and love on them a bit.
That's good.
Everybody doing all right? In spirit. That's our attitude or our communication with God. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you talked to God? And by the way, his last name isn't what we said it was, and his first name's not O. Some of you, the only time you talk to him is when you're in trouble. I mean, do you talk with him every day? I thank God I talk to my wife every day. That's how we grow in love. And after 30 and a half years, we still talk each day. Isn't that wonderful? In faith. I've defined faith this way. Faith is doing everything you can and watching God do what you cannot do. You're looking at a church that was built by faith. We didn't have a place to buy. My secretary drove, and Brother and Mrs. Barnes drove down this way, saw a for sale sign on this piece of property. She said, "Preacher, I don't know how much they'd want for it." I said, "I don't know either, but check into it." $89,000 for 4 acres. Everything else was $100,000 to $200,000 per acre. I said, "You better double check that." So she did. I had preachers all over the country saying, "Well, you shouldn't buy property until you have plans for a building." I said, "I can't have plans for a building until I have property and know where to put it."
Amen. That's true.
I didn't have $89,000. Our church didn't have $89,000. But we started raising some money. God brought a man named Jim Bossy to us through Dr. Anderson with Jehovah Jireh Ministries. They gave us $45,000. And with the $45,000 or so, $50,000 that we had raised, we had enough money to buy this property. We bought the property. Had a couple thousand dollars left over and hired me a civil engineer. I found out that is a half step below a politician. And when you can get below a politician, that's pretty low. If you're a civil engineer, please don't take that personally. Lord have mercy. We started through the process. We'd spend what we have and say, "Okay, God, we need help." And God would provide. We'd spend what we had been given then, and God would provide. We'd spend a little more, and God would provide. Man called me around Christmas. He called me in the end of between Thanksgiving and Christmas. He called me and said, "I hear you're trying to build a church." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "What do you need?" I said, "Talk to God. I don't tell everybody else what we need." He said, "Well, what part of the project are you working on?" I said, "Trying to get financing for it." "Well, how much money do you have in the bank?" And I told him. He said, "Tell you what, if you raise $35,000, you've got $30,000. If you raise $30,000, that'll give you $60,000. He said, "If you raise another $30,000, I'll give you $60,000 cash. And that'll give you 20% to put down on your building." Have you ever tried to go to a group of people and raise $30,000 at Christmas? I was all excited, hung up the phone, thought, I promised God and I promised everybody I wasn't going to do a bunch of money raising. I got on my knees in my office there in Aiken Center and I said, "God, this is your house and you're going to finance it your way. I'll bring it up to the people what the man said and let you take care of it. I'm not going to put pressure on anybody." God is my witness. My secretary knows this is true. She didn't even know what was happening till later. Less than 30 minutes, Brother Mike, after that phone call came in, my phone rang. A man on the other end of the line said, "Preacher, been praying this morning." He said, "God put it on my heart." He said, "I'm supposed to give you a check for $30,000. Where do I send it?" I said, "Can I call you back? I got to go shout." I brought it before you. We raised $5,000 more. about 6 weeks after the original fellow told us, you raised 30. I said, I didn't raise 30, I raised 35. He said, well, since you got 35, I'll match it. And that way, he said, here's 70,000. No problem. We started down the process. 13 banks, we finally got a loan. I didn't steal, but I begged. I did everything you could do to get a loan. Finally got one. We started in the construction process. That same man that loaned us money, or didn't loan it, gave it to us, that $70,000. He called me. And he said, it's in February. He said, I got some crumbs left in our Christmas cookie jar. He said, can you give me your bank name and address and routing number for your checking account? He said, we're going to wire some money into your church account. People like that, I don't ask permission. I just say, let me get it to you. I was telling the Lord, I need $10,000 for another part of the project. I said, God, if you could put on that man's heart to give us $10,000, that sure would ease my pain a little bit. 3 days later, he emailed me early in the morning and he said, go to the bank today. I said, yes, sir. Went over to the bank and I said, this man is supposed to have wired some money into our church account. I said, I don't know how much. I said, could you look it up and tell me how much it was? She punched some numbers in and she said, yep, it's there. And I said, from this man, from this place? Yep, that's it. She said, it's $100,000. I said, can you look at that thing again just to make sure? My knees got weak. Folks, he said crumbs. I'd hate to see the cookies. And I'd like to see the jar. I remember the fight in the county. I've been to the governor's office, been to the head of the DEP's office, other places. The county slapped $98,000 extra dollars for all these wonderful stormwater management ponds on our property. We have more stormwater management than all of the commercial buildings in Jefferson County put together. I fought it and fought it and fought it and fought it. I was so mad, I told God, it's up to you. I'm done. Brought it to our men on a Saturday morning prayer breakfast the next morning. Said, don't know how we're going to do it, fellas, but we're going to need to raise an extra $100,000 somewhere. We had already closed the loan. Dad went to my office. The man walked in and he said, at this time last night, my wife and I decided, and here's a $25,000 check. Whew. Excuse me, I gotta go outside and shout a while. We watched God do every step of the way that way. Can I tell you something? This area needs to see a church that was built by faith and not built by man.
Amen.
It's not a palace. It's plain meat and taters, but meat and taters is pretty good. In purity. That means we're going to be as close to the Bible as we can get. I believe in preaching old-fashioned purity. Sin is still sin. Right is still right. Wrong is still wrong. Believe there's a difference between a man and a woman. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Amen.
Not going to stand for the new sodomite, the LGBTQ alphabet soup crowd. But may I say this, we're going to try to win them to Christ. In other words, by example. Let me ask you a question. Have you taught anybody to do anything for the Lord that you're doing right now? Then in 2020, how about everybody grab one or two people and teach them what you do for the Lord? We need to be an example. By the way, I'm talking to the teenagers, I'm talking to the adults, I'm talking to you old timers, everybody. Number three, this is where the rubber meets the road quickly. Look at the next part. And have taught you publicly. I don't have time for you to turn to all these verses. But Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the whole earth. The very last words of Jesus were the great commission to take the gospel to every creature. Every creature, red and yellow, black and white, short, tall, old, young, fat, skinny, and everywhere in between. Doesn't matter if you're a Polak, a Dago, or whatever you are, you're supposed to get the gospel. See, I don't think you ought to call people's races like that. Well, guess what? God didn't say that there was a color or a nationality on a spirit. I see people, I don't see color, don't see anything else. I'm colorblind. Who cares? I really don't care. Wait a minute. Acts chapter 2, verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now everybody look at me for a second. We're going to do something in 2020 that no church that I know of has ever done. But we're going to give it a whirl. I am asking our church in 2020, I'm asking every boy, every girl, we're going to bring this down into junior church. We're going to put it into our bus route with our bus kids. We're going to ask the teenagers and the adults and the senior citizens, are you ready? I'm going to ask every person in 2020 to at least get out one gospel tract every day for 365 days. Amen. I'm not asking you to go knock on a door necessarily. I'm just asking you that when you drop over at Sheets and the guy across the pump from you stand there and say, hey, this will show you how you can go to heaven for sure someday. I'd like you to read it. Do you go to church anywhere? Or the lady behind the cash register. Or wherever you go. That for 7 days in a row, one track, I'm not asking you to take 365 tracks and pass them out all at one time and say, okay, I'm done for the year. No, 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 no. I'm asking you to give out one every day for 365 days a year. This is what we're going to do. We're going to, every 7 days when you come back to church, I'm going to give everybody that passed out 7 tracks in the last week, one a day, a ribbon, and we're going to post those ribbons around the auditorium. You're going to put your name on it. And at the end of the year, I'd like to decorate this church with ribbons. Somebody say amen. All right. You're looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Hang on. I've got some folks that can't get out and do that. I've got folks like Miss Wally and my mom and Miss Osie that probably can't get out 7 days a week and do that. But they're going to get a box of tracks each and they're going to start rubber banding tracks together at 7 at a time. They're going to be a part of it too. They might not be able to get out, but I'm going to have them rubber banded in groups of 7. You grab a group of 7 and you take one out and you every day. We're going to do it in junior church and the bus route on the way home. Mrs. Lopez doesn't know this yet, but the bus route on the way home is going to stop somewhere. Amen, Brother Mike. And we're going to teach the kids how to pass out a track and everybody on that bus is going to pass out one track that day. Say why? Because God said that we're supposed to do that. I believe, did you know if 100 people did that? That is 36,500 times that the gospel of Jesus Christ would get out. That's twice the population of the city of Martinsburg. There's about 44,000 people in Berkeley County. That's almost the entire Berkeley County. That's more than live in Jefferson County. That's just one track every day. I'm talking about kids can take them to school and give them out at school. It is not illegal to give out the gospel at a public school. Don't care what they tell you. Everybody hear me? It's not illegal. We might offend somebody. Good, their lifestyle offends me. Godlessness ought to offend us, not godliness. In other words, every man, every woman, every child, every teenager, I want everybody willing to go out and give out one track every day. Everybody could do that, just about. Those of you that are physically unable, you're going to be helping us do it by packing them things together in sevens. I'm not asking you to take 700 of these and do it. I'm asking you to take seven. Then come back the next week and get seven more. Do you know how many people you pass by every day? It's really not that hard. Think about it. Did you know that? I hate saying it. He said it, so I'll say it. Do you know if all of you only succeeded halfway, that's 182 days that you passed out tracks?
Good.
I'd rather you try and fail than not try at all.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? I believe we could do that. I'm not asking to do something hard. I'm talking about maybe you're sending bills out, send one a day and put a track in there. Somebody's going to get it. I'm talking about Christmas card season. Some of you could put them in Christmas cards. Birthday cards. You name it. There's a way to get the gospel out every day. I believe everybody could do it. Everybody doing all right? This is how we'll publicly get the gospel out, and I believe God will then give us results and people will be saved accordingly. You don't get anybody saved. The gospel does. I'm talking about the gas station, the neighborhood, the school, the stores, virtually everywhere you go in public or do something in public. I don't care if you're just going to go buy a part at the parts store at Auto Works, pass out a track. There's always somebody there. That means we're going to have tracks on us at all times. It means we're going to have to be remembering them. It means you're going to have to think of ways. Folks, I'm the preacher. I've been soul winning for over 40 years of my life. I know I pass out more than 365 tracks in a year. But I can't tell you that I pass one out every day. But I will this year. I've got a goal to do more than that. Boy, that's good stuff. And then it says them from house to house. That means this, we're going to get more people out knocking on doors during our soul winning times. That's what our regular church-wide soul winning is all about. Thursday night at 6:30, Saturday morning 10 o'clock. I'll be honest with you, that's what our bus ministry is about. I'd like to start a ladies' soul winning ministry sometime during the week for our ladies. I'm going to get it going one way or t'other this year. We're going to add it. Like I said, we're not changing. We're just adding more of what we're doing. That's what our meeting down here at the Mountaineer Rehab is all about. Getting in there and getting the gospel out. Boy, that's good stuff. My hero, my pastor, Brother Hiles, used to say it this way. We should go soul winning some of the time, all of the time. And we should go soul winning all of the time, some of the time. That means this. Some of the time is passing out that track once a day. You're out in public, you pass a track. You're here, you pass it, you know, you just kind of do it and you're not. But there needs to be a certain time where you go on purpose and all you're going to do is go soul winning. That's what our church-wide soul winning is about. You spend an hour or hour and a half out telling others about how to go to heaven. I'm teaching right now on Wednesday nights about soul winning. Well, I'm not going to make you go to the door on your own and not know what to say or not know what to do. We'll train you. But I need you to come. I need you to get involved. Some of you used to be soul winners. It's been a long time since you told somebody. Long time since you knocked on the door. Let me ask you this. How many people have died and gone to hell because you haven't? We have a chance to do something in history that nobody has done. We're going to have 12 big days. That's too strong a term. 12 emphasis days during the year. We're going to have one Sunday every month where we have a little push. Probably the third-ish Sunday of the month. In January, it's going to be Sunday school classes. We're going to push every Sunday school class to get a little extra in Sunday school than they've had before. In February, we're calling it Neighbor Day, and I'm going to ask you to ask your neighbors to come to church with you in February. In March, it's going to be First Responders Day. We'll get some policemen and firemen and EMTs here. I'm going to ask Mr. McMillan, the fellow that gave us $160,000, he's the CEO and originator of the TFT fire hose nozzle. I'm going to ask if he'll be here that day, and that will be a draw for some of these first responders because he is known worldwide. April will be coworker day. May will be bus day. June will be adult day. And in July, we're going to do something really unique. For our July 4th picnic, we're going to get a permit and get a tent put up out front here, have our July 4th picnic on Saturday. But on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, we're going to have an old-fashioned tent revival at Grace Baptist Church. I've asked Pastor John C. from over in Frederick. He's going to come over on Tuesday night and preach with me. I've asked Brother Fisher and Brother Jorgensen that if possible, and I think it's possible, and it looks like it's going to happen, looks like they're going to let us have the tour group here for those 2 days. And I'll have the tour group preacher preach with me too. And we're just going to have a good old-fashioned singing and old-fashioned tent meeting. Amen. Right here on the grounds in the middle of summer. Say, well, what if it's hot? Not what if, it's going to be. Just bring your own personal piece of paper to fan with. But I can see us seeing a whole bunch of people get saved every day. Walk them up here and get them in the tank and capsizing them. Amen? August is going to be junior church month. September is going to be, you're going to love this, hunting month. We're going to have a big push on hunters. I'm hoping to have a men's activity and have a wild game type thing and have just some fun with it. October is going to be Politician and Government Worker Day, right before the election. Get them rascals saved, amen. Then Brother Fugit's going to be with us November 2nd and 3rd. But in the month of November is going to be Military and Veterans Day. And then December, it's going to be family, trying to get your family here. We're just going to have just a little push every month. One Sunday a month for the whole year. I've never done anything like that. But can I tell you something? We have an opportunity in 2020. How about we hold nothing back? Some of you have lost loved ones that might get saved this year if you'd get involved. I believe that. I believe we're holding back. We're too afraid. Well, let's live Acts 2020 in 2020. That means there are people here, you've been saved and never baptized. How about we get the obedience started and you get baptized? Maybe you've been saved and baptized and you need to join an old-fashioned Baptist church like this. How about we take care of that today? How about you just decide you're going to jump on in? The water's fine, trust me. Can I tell you something? The devil's not real happy with us right now. Oh man, we've had the issue with the bus. I had the county call me this week, and somebody's a little upset over something or other, and we're trying to calm them down about something here at the church property, and it's all right. We'll get it all resolved, and the county didn't want to get involved, but somebody decided they wanted to be a little bit obnoxious. What are you going to do? We'll fix what we can, and I don't give a flip about the rest. When the devil's fighting, I know we're going the right direction. When you got him upset, that means you're bothering him. Well, I plan on bothering the devil an awful lot this year. How about we decide we're going to take part in it? To our visitors, thank you for allowing us to be a church for a little while, but I think it's good for y'all to hear where church is going. We're not going to roll over and play dead.
Amen.
You're looking at one preacher that doesn't know what the word quit means. And I would make a horrible liberal, just trust me. I couldn't pussyfoot. It's not there. I just believe that we have a very unique opportunity in history to where we could actually live Acts 20:20 in the year 2020. I have, on your way out, I'll make sure that everybody gets one of these. It is a flyer that has everything on paper that I just gave you. And I want you to post it. I want you to pray about it. I want you to participate in it. We'll talk more about it, but every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I must quit. But let me ask you a question. You say, preacher, if I died today, I know 100% sure. I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you, and you put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure. I've never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I'd like to know that someday. Would you raise your hand? All right. Maybe you've been saved and you've never been baptized. We can take care of that today. We've got the baptistry clothes. We've got towels. We've got everything that you would need. The water's warm. It's been cleaned. If you've been saved and baptized, you need to join a church. Well, I can recommend one to you. Old-fashioned, interested in seeing people saved. I'm going to follow what God said all the way. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Many, 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 almost every hand, you can put them down. I'm not interested in building a name for myself. I don't care about my name. I do care about building a name for God. How about we do business with God? If you raised your hand today, or maybe you should have, how about you come to an old-fashioned altar and pray? If you've been saved and never baptized, you come. We'll take care of that today. Maybe you need to join the church. You come.